I've always found it fascinating, the character of Pinchas. But at the same time, I've also found the character of Eliyahu equally fascinating, which, thankfully for my sake, is supported by the connection that the Medrash shares with us that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Now, for Pinchas to actually be the same person as Eliyahu would mean that Eliyahu was quite old at his time, because he lived towards the middle or so of the first Beis HaMikdash. So you're talking about 200 years plus several hundred years until the Jewish people built the Beis HaMikdash. You're talking about someone who was quite old. And so we're going to assume for a moment that there is the possibility that Pinchas and Eliyahu are not the same person in reality. But simply what the Medrash is trying to do is it's trying to create a deep connection between the two of them to tell us that the qualities of Pinchas and the qualities of Eliyahu mirror themselves. And the Medrash does that with other people as well. We're told that Lavan is a certain character also, which also we sit there and say, like, it doesn't make sense that you're talking chronologically of two people who lived so many hundreds of years apart to be the same person. But again, it's from the same notion that the two of them are very much connected in terms of personality traits and qualities. So let's take a look at Pinchas for just a few moments and try to better understand what happened. Pinchas finds himself in a very, very difficult situation. The Jewish people are sinning, which is not uncommon to Bamidbar, but there's a really terrible moment where all sense of normalcy and that which is considered normally completely inappropriate is happening publicly. You have Giloy Arayos happening rampantly throughout the camp, not only on the level of the lowest people, but you even have one of the princes of the Jewish people, this guy Zimri ben Salu, who's sinning with Cosby Batsur, who's a princess of one of the kings. And so what happens? Pinchas doesn't know what to do, and nobody knows what to do. And the Jewish people are frozen, and even Moshe himself is frozen. And Pinchas comes along and says, I know the halacha. The halacha is that Kanayim Pogimbo, that in a case like this, Abol Aramis, if a person is having relations with a non-Jewish woman, okay, so maybe it's true that halachically there's not anything that you could fully do at that point, but we say Kanayim Pogimbo, that a Kanai, someone who is a Kanai, a zealot, he is able to take matters into his own hands. And I think that that's a very, very key piece to understanding what happens in Parshas Pinchas, to understand who Pinchas is. I think there's an additional element of it, and that's where the Eliyahu connection is. Because who is Eliyahu? Eliyahu is ultimately a Kanoi. He is a person that's a Kanoi. He's a zealot to God. Now, what's my proof to that? So first off, you could just look at Eliyahu's moments throughout Tanakh, and I think that it's not hard to come to that conclusion. It really is not challenging to see that. Eliyahu lives by himself. Eliyahu does things that are certainly out of the mold of what everybody else is doing. But here's the key proof. Eliyahu himself says it. So he goes back to give the Torah to God. He spends 40 days in Sinai, and God says, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Malacha po Eliyahu, and Eliyahu answers, Kano kinesi l'shem l'kein tzvakos. Kano kinesi. I'm zealous to God. And not only am I zealous to God, I'm the only one. Now, it's interesting, I never thought about this, but perhaps what Eliyahu is saying is, it's not that I'm the only one that's religious in all of the land of Israel. That might be a tough sell to really believe. But he's saying, Kano kinesi l'Hashem elokei tzvakos. Perhaps he's saying, I am the only one that's truly zealous for you. There's a difference. There are people that are observant, but others feel that are passionate about their observance are those the people that when they see something that is wrong, it bothers them and they feel like they have to do something. Isn't that, after all, what Pinchas does? Pinchas looks at something and says, okay, maybe from an absolute stand, halachic standpoint, maybe they're not doing anything that's 100% condemnable. We can't indict them. But it's wrong. It's so wrong. So what is the halacha there? Kanayim pogimpo. That someone who's truly a zealot has to stand up. He can't tolerate that. He has to say that this is wrong. Eliyahu is the exact same way. And I've always reflected that while it's true that Eliyahu does this, and it's true that Pinchas does this, and they are critical moments, I think, that put that right the ship and fix the course of history. What would have happened if Pinchas hadn't done that? I don't know. Could it have been that the Magefa would have spread even more? Could it be that the sense of right and wrong would have been even further decayed? Yeah, that's all a possibility. I don't know what the answer is. Certainly in Eliyahu's time, Eliyahu's final moment might be that Kano Kinesi, but look at all the things he does before that. He tackles Achav. That's a really hard one. Achav is beloved by the people. Starting up with him is not simple, but Eliyahu feels like, how can I not? There's something so critically wrong with what's happening. If I don't respond, if I don't answer, then I would be guilty. It can't be. That's, I think, such a huge piece of what's going on. They right the ship. They fix it. They say, we can't tolerate, we can't accept a circumstance like this. So it's great. What they do is amazing. But the question is, what happens with a person like that? And what is their spot in the overall community? Is there a place for them? And this is why I think is fascinating. I think it's fascinating to watch what happens to both of them. Pinchas becomes a Kohen. That's an upgrade. He was born at a time when the kahuna had not existed yet. And so God creates very strict criteria and says, yeah, to be a Kohen, you have to be from the sons of Aaron and the grandchildren that are not yet born. Pinchas was already born. He loses out. He is not a Kohen. So what happens? He becomes a Kohen. So is that a good thing? Of course it's a good thing. Everyone wants to be a Kohen. Is that amazing? Yeah. Why does he become a Kohen? So perhaps the message that God is giving him is, I want you to be a Kohen. Why? Because a Kohen is an Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. That's what a Kohen is. It's someone who pursues peace. Pinchas, I want you to know that you are Kano Kinesi. You have blood on your hands. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. But it becomes a bad thing if this becomes a recurring theme. If you're going to become that zealot that will always be doing this, if you're going to be the one that's always going to be at the community and beating them up for all their shortfalls, then you won't be able to make it. Pinchas, you did something that was critical. We're so grateful for you. But if you want to continue to remain in the leadership position, then what you need to do is you need to become an Oev Shalom or Rodev Shalom. That's one possibility. But here's another possibility. And I think that this one is equally valid. He becomes a Kohen, but we know what Kohen is he. He becomes the Kohen Meshuach Milchama. Pinchas finds himself in this interesting role that he is the Kohen that goes out to war with the Jewish people to warn them, to strengthen them. Meaning, Pinchas does not become a run-of-the-mill leader. He doesn't become part of the regular leadership team of the Jewish people. But he's reserved for moments like this. For moments of fear, for moments of fright, for moments where you need someone who's going to say, I don't care what else is going on. This is what you have to do. Pinchas is saved for that. And so then I think when you look at it that way, what you realize very quickly is Pinchas' role is not one to relish. But God says, I have a very, very, very specific place where you could be successful. He is a typecasted actor. God says, I accept you, but I accept you only in very specific circumstances. And so Pinchas does not make it into the typical leadership team. And if you accept that Pinchas is Eliyahu, and Pinchas is around for that long of a time, then what happens? You have to watch and see how many leaders show up and Pinchas doesn't get the nod. There are people who try so hard to get the leadership role, but it just never makes it to them. And sometimes you wonder, did they get a fair shake? But sometimes it's not that they didn't get a fair shake. It's just not for them. There's a role for them, but not that role. They can't do that. Pinchas is passed over during the times of Shoftim for some pretty lowly people. But perhaps that's the reason for it. Pinchas had a time and a place, but because of his personality, he couldn't be more than that. Is it possible that Eliyahu is in the same way? It is certainly possible. Whereas Eliyahu will find himself as quite the Navi, and we believe that Eliyahu travels with us to the Seder. We believe that Eliyahu travels with us to the Bris Milah. We have the Kos Shel Eliyahu and the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. Those are real places for them. But Eliyahu only comes and goes. Eliyahu doesn't have a place that's permanent. And Eliyahu doesn't have a place that is a run-of-the-mill leadership position. Is it perhaps for the very same reason? Eliyahu's kana'ut, his zealousness, while impressive, while important, while perhaps critical to the success of the Jewish people at a certain time. Yes, that is all true. But kana'ut kinesi l'shem elokei tzvakot, it doesn't work day to day. I'll end with a thought, and I think that it's an interesting idea, because I think it takes this message home. La'avdil elef alfei avdalos. You have sports teams that hire coaches, and their coaches are fiery personalities, and they last much shorter of a time than other coaches, because they burn out their voice gets burnt out, and they're no longer listened to much more quickly. In the short run, there are some of them. I remember Niels when the Rangers hired a coach in 1993-94. He won the Stanley Cup in his one and only season with the Rangers. Mike Keenan was a fiery personality, definitely a kanoi. What happened? He couldn't last in the city for all that long, because he burnt so many bridges. There's value to people like that. They can get the job done in the moment, but they don't last so long. And that, I think, is perhaps the idea behind Eliyahu. I think that's the idea behind Pinchas. They are critical people who live at critical moments, but their position cannot be a critical position for the long run, because they're not suitable for that position. It's definitely a thought that connects Eliyahu and Pinchas. It's certainly a thought that I think does a nice job of bridging the long divide midrashically between them. Have a great day.